Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the stimulating program initiative for retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Director of Community Programs for the Orthodox Union, and it's my honor to coordinate and host this program. The OU started SPIRIT several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for empty nesters, baby boomers, retirees, not yet retirees, sandwich generation parents, and seniors. Everybody who's looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Now, during the pandemic, when we all still continue to shelter in, SPIRIT has become the perfect way for all of us to engage in a virtual setting. Today's program is a session on independent safe living. We have addressed this important topic before in the SPIRIT Forum with Susan Mattel. This was, I believe, in August. She is a registered nurse. And more recently with Peggy Horowitz of Caring Professionals. Today, we will be hearing from the occupational therapist perspective with Hallie Gottesman and Penina Reach. Penina Reach, COTA, is licensed to practice occupational therapy and provide education to patients in geriatric rehab. Penina has treated patients with stroke, Parkinson's disease, cardiopulmonary disease, joint replacement, and dementia. Hallie Gottesman has an MS in occupational therapy from Towson University in Baltimore, Maryland, and over 25 years of experience working with the populations of geriatric and adults with disabilities. She has a private practice in home safety and modifications. We are so thrilled to have both Penina and Hallie with us today, and it's my honor to turn the SPIRIT over to Hallie Gottesman and Penina Reach. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you very much, Judy. As an occupational therapist, I think it's helpful to know what occupational therapy does. So to start, occupational therapy helps promote individuals' highest level of functional independence in their environment, addressing their physical, sensory, and cognitive challenges. In these areas, the areas of activities of daily living, which include bathing, dressing, toileting, feeding, and transferring, and instrumental activities of daily living, including using the phone, shopping, preparing food, housekeeping, doing laundry, and medication management. I hope this will give you an understanding of how rewarding the work of an occupational therapist is. And I am pleased to give this over to my colleague who will now present Penina Reach.
Thank you, Hallie. And thank you, Revitson, for inviting Hallie and me to speak for your SPIRIT program. Hallie and I collaborated on this presentation, and I appreciate her invaluable input. Atara Reiner prepared the PowerPoint for us. And I'm so glad that we have this forum to meet and discuss topics, especially since this pandemic has been so isolating for so many of us. So a big thank you to the Revitson for making this program possible. We're discussing the occupational therapist perspective on independent safe living, facing physical challenges as we age. We will be looking at five deficits and interventions to address each deficit. Hallie and I decided to make this information available to this audience because these are simple and effective measures to increase safety and independence. Many of us have noticed changes in our vision as we age, and maybe a family member or a friend have told us that our hearing is not what it used to be. It might also happen that there are sensory changes in our hands and feet. These changes in our senses may result as a normal process of aging. First, we have to be aware of the changes, and then we can compensate. And these compensations are what we're going to speak about today. We will also be looking at case studies where people are diagnosed with medical conditions that bring these deficits. The PowerPoint will be provided by the OU after the presentation for your use. And we also included the material we're presenting verbally as a resource for you. So you'll have this information as a reference. Before we address physical deficits, we want to make you aware of a website for all seniors in independent living. which provides economical ideas to upgrade your living space for lifelong use. Google AARP Home Fit Guide, and there you'll find a room-by-room description of do-it-yourself changes, incorporating elements of fall prevention. There are also some ideas that require a skilled contractor. A quick word on fall prevention. I just want to mention that falls are the number one reason that seniors move from independent living to assisted living and from assisted living to long-term care. Fall prevention seminars are often run by local community centers, and Hallie and I encourage you to participate in one. Fall prevention is a separate presentation, but we will touch on some aspects of fall prevention in this webinar. So now let's get started. We'll start with vision loss. And here's our case study. Shayna, a homemaker, age 85, lives in an independent senior housing apartment. She has macular degeneration, a condition of the eye that affects the center of a person's vision, which is the area of sharpest vision. Their peripheral vision is unaffected. This loss can cause hazy vision and requires bright lights to see clearly. Shayna also has osteoporosis and osteoarthritis, requiring her to ambulate with a walker. She was referred to occupational therapy for a home evaluation due to her visual impairment and high risk for falling. So the first intervention we'll look at is lighting, because a person with vision loss needs as much light in the room as possible in order to see. So you want to use natural light to your advantage, and blinds like this that are easy to open rather than heavy drapes at the window. In each lamp in the house, use the brightest wattage available. Task lighting will illuminate the tasks that you have, like lamps under the cabinets above the sink or a small lamp at your side while you're sewing or writing. You can install glow-in-the-dark light switches like this. Notice that the whole panel is lit up, not just the switch. And outside, you want to install bright exterior lights by the walkway and by the door. The next intervention we'll look at is reducing glare. Glare interferes with the line of vision and reduces a visual feel. So on the wall, you want to have non-glossy paint so that you have a matte finish on the walls. Also, reduce the gloss on hardwood flooring, and remove wall hangings that are reflecting glare from the light sources in the room. On the furniture, solid colors are less confusing on the furniture and floors than patterned fabric. And regarding fall risk, you want to cover any cords that are on the walkway and also cover the thresholds of doorways with bright paint. You can also do this in the shower and in the bathroom to address fall risk. And don't forget to put a bath mat or shower strips on the floor of the shower to prevent falls. Next, we're going to introduce contrast into the environment to aid in depth perception. So you want to put the controls of the television on the highest level of contrast to increase the sharpness of the image. Now here you see that we've introduced contrast into the bathroom. The sink is set off from the counter by putting a light color against a dark color. Here the toilet seat is set off from the rest of the commode, and notice that the walls are light colored and the floor is a dark color. Here in the center, we put tape on the steps to mark the steps going up and down. And here on the right, they put lights under the banisters to illuminate the stairwell so that it's easily seen. Also notice the banisters on both sides of the stairs, which address fall risk. And all the elements of fall risk that we discuss in this presentation apply equally for all the impairments. Here you'll see a play setting where we've made a dark plate against a light background. Here's a light colored cup with a dark liquid and a dark colored light cup with a light liquid. Next, we'll talk about enlarged print for vision loss. You can ask your pharmacist to dispense medications with labels that have large print, And you can also use a large print pill box like this. Use an e-reader such as Kindle to adjust font size, lighting level, and the contrast. You can enlarge recipes on a copier and use magnifiers like this for reading. Small devices can be used with large buttons and the contrasting colors like this calculator. This is also good for phones and clocks, and you could also use that for the thermostat. Now we can introduce tactile cues to help with vision loss. Let's talk about kitchen appliances. Use tactile cues like raised dots on buttons of the microwave. You can also use puffy paint to create raised markings on setting dials for the stove and oven, such as medium on the stove and 350 degrees on the oven. Use rubber bands to identify pill bottles or toiletries in the bathroom, like one rubber band on the morning meds and two rubber bands on the afternoon meds, or one rubber band on the shampoo and two rubber bands on the conditioner. And the National Federation of the Blind has many products for people with vision loss. For a full catalog, you can email independencemarket@nfb.org. And you can also contact the Association of the Blind and Visually Impaired. Next, we'll talk about hearing deficits. Our case study. Mordechai, a retired businessman and president of his shul, age 89, lives alone in a semi-detached home with his bedroom on the second floor. Over the past 20 years, his hearing has degenerated, which has isolated him from his family and friends. His tremor makes it difficult for him to change his hearing aid batteries. He was referred for a safety evaluation. This deficit makes the person feel very isolated, so their quality of life can be greatly enhanced through email and texting. So even if you live in the same town, you can set up a regular communication with them through email and attach interesting things that you've read on the internet or photographs. And throughout the day, if you text with the person, then they'll feel less isolated. Now, regarding acoustics, use wall-to-wall carpeting, wall hangings, acoustic tiles to help absorb background noises. Avoid multiple sources of sound during conversation, such as television during dinner or music during a family party, and run the dishwasher and clothes washer during times when not conversing. You can buy a phone like this that has an amplifying device, and they make doorbells that activate flashing lights. So this would go by the door, and then these go in the house, and they flash lights when the doorbell is sounded. They also make doorbells with multiple receivers with volume control that you can put throughout the house. This is a smoke detector that has a flashing strobe light. Now, for the hearing impaired, they make devices like alarm for the alarm clock, the security alarm, or smoke alarm. And these will shake or vibrate a bed to rouse the hearing impaired person at night. And you can activate closed captioning on the television. Now, to address tremors, provide a weighted cup with or without a lid for coffee and soup and weighted cutlery. And in this case study, we would arrange for a neighbor or family member to maintain changing the batteries in his hearing aid. A website for products for the hearing impaired is harriscomm.com. And you can also contact the National Association of the Deaf. Now we'll talk about tactile challenges. Now, a person needs to be aware of the lack of sensation in order to compensate. And tactile challenges can be the complication of diabetes, the effect of a stroke, or maybe the result of the normal aging process. Our case studies. Yaakov, age 78, lives with his wife, Sarah, in a condo on the third floor. Unfortunately, several years ago, Yaakov was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, which caused him to develop neuropathy in his feet. Losing sensation in his feet has affected his balance. And we have Sarah, age 75, who had a stroke 6 months ago, affecting her left side, including reduced sensation. After a one-week hospitalization, she spent time in rehab, relearning to walk with a walker that has a platform to rest and secure her left forearm and for her hand to grasp the walker. So the first intervention we'll look at is lowering the temperature settings of the water heater to avoid scalding during bathing and washing dishes. Because these people have tactile deficits, they can't tell when the water gets too hot. Just as with vision loss, you'll want to increase the texture of items and handrails to assist with grip using rubber bands, textured paints, or rope. So we'll start with decreased sensation in the hands. It's helpful to grip items with a fist instead of a fine motor pinch. So you can use touch lamps like this, which have a button on the base that you push rather than reaching under the shade to twist a knob. There are light switches with rocker panels like this, where you just push it at the top and the bottom to turn the light on. And you can use handles on doors like this that do not require a grip, a lever instead of a knob. If using an electric stovetop, ensure there is a light indicator when the burner is turned off and cooling. This is an electric can opener. You see that it uses a big grip. And this is a jar opener that adjusts for grip. This is something called Dyson. It looks like fruit leather. And when you cut a piece off, you can put it under a jar or under a plate to stabilize it. And this is a steel glove that you can wear when cutting food, or you can use pre-cut or ready-to-eat food items. For decreased sensation in the feet, you need to wear proper footwear and use an adaptive device like a cane or a walker. And to address fall risk, you want to tape down the edges of area rugs. We'll move on to cognitive impairment. Our case study. Hana, age 73, a widowed Holocaust survivor and retired retail clerk, has moved to her children's home as her dementia has progressed to the point that she was unsafe living alone in her home. Her children made the decision for her to move when she could not find her car in the grocery parking lot and decided to walk home with the grocery cart. Soon after this event, she fell off a step stool reaching for dishes on a high step, fracturing her arm. Now, as the disease progresses, there's no prognosis as to how far it's going to go. This is individual to each person. So as the disease progresses, the quality of life of the person with a cognitive impairment is dependent on the relationship that they have with their caregiver. So if you're caring for someone with a cognitive impairment, you want to try to establish that relationship early on with their caregiver so that they have that in place if the disease progresses. Now, even early on, it's an important intervention to reduce confusion. Use pictures to identify common rooms, drawers, and cabinets. Put up directional signs in the living space, and a photograph of the person on their bedroom door can help identify it as their own room. This is a calendar clock. You see it has the day of the week, the time, and also whether it's morning or evening, which will help distinguish between night and day. Cover or remove mirrors if causing confusion. And remove the cover on the top of the toilet seat to prevent confusion when relieving oneself. Now, how do we ease daily activities? These keys have electronic tags attached to them, which you can put on easily misplaced items like glasses and remote controls. These are linked to a handheld locator. This is a phone where you can program pictures of people they call frequently or emergency numbers. This watch will record reminders for the person, such as to brush their teeth or to turn into a favorite TV program. This is a medication dispenser. It beeps and opens at appropriate times. to simplify use for the person or the caregiver. And with a doctor's order, you can have your pharmacist sort the medications for the different dosage throughout the day. Amazon also offers this service. They call it PillPack, and they'll make the arrangements with the doctor and the insurance company for you. They package it a little differently, but it's the same idea where they have the medications already sorted for you to simplify medication management. How to increase safety in the environment. As an element of fall prevention, you want to create wide walkways in the home for the person to move freely. Child-proof electrical outlets. Remove sharp objects and glassware. Place decals on large glass windows and doors to make the glass visible. On stoves and the oven, remove the knobs. In the sinks, remove drain stoppers to prevent flooding. And here again, set the water temperature lower to prevent scalding. Lock up cleaning supplies, chemicals, poisons, and medications. Now, if the disease progresses, then wandering becomes a symptom. So when the person is wandering, they're not safe to live alone. You can cover the wall and exit door with wallpaper to camouflage the door. Install locks that require two steps to open. Like this lock has a combination. This one has a latch which you remove, and then you turn the knob in order to open it. Install alarms on exit doors and windows. Limit access to unsafe areas such as garages and basements. Keep the gates in the yard locked. Now you want to provide the person with an identification card and a bracelet like this. You can also have the individual wear a GPS locator, which will alert you if the person goes outside a boundary. Keep keys to any card locked away or out of sight, and you can contact the Alzheimer's Association for advice for caregivers. Now we'll talk about physical impairment. Physical impairment is when a person is walking with a walker or is confined to a wheelchair. Our case studies. Ben, age 82, a retired high school principal, lives in a senior citizen apartment complex. He fractured his hip on an icy step coming out of shul. He had surgery and received therapy at a rehab center for 2 weeks. Prior to discharge, his home was assessed for safety. Now Ben was discharged at rolling walker level. And we have Betty, age 65, an elementary school teacher, who lives with her husband in a ranch house. She was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at age 60. Her condition has progressed to the point that her self-care and walking have become quite difficult for her. So Betty was discharged at rolling walker level for short distances and at wheelchair level for long distances. So in the kitchen, whether someone's using a rolling walker or a wheelchair, the stove controls and faucets should be easy to reach. Appliances, pots, and dishes should be on the counters where the person can easily reach them. If using a walker, the person can fatigue easily with walking, so you want to provide seating in the kitchen during meal prep. Some walkers have a seat on them, and these can be used for carrying a plate of food from meal prep to the table. The seat can be used as a tray. In the kitchen, a drawer can be opened and a large cutting board placed over the drawer to allow working space while sitting in a wheelchair or a chair. Lower cabinet doors can be removed and emptied to allow leg room under the sink or counter when using a wheelchair. Now, when the person is in a wheelchair, you want to ensure that one entrance into the home is fully accessible in case of an emergency. A ramp may be required. Every inch of rise in the steps requires 1 foot of ramp length. Ramps can be temporary or permanent, and temporary ramps are often two metal tracks on which a wheelchair can be pushed up. For a wheelchair, doorways must be 36 inches wide. Sliding doors or swing away hinges can increase space for a wheelchair, or removing the doors can add 1 inch to the doorway width. Remove all small throw rugs, clutter, and cords in the walkway. Hard floors or low pile carpet is safest for mobility. For the bathroom, standard wheelchairs require a 5-foot turning radius. A power wheelchair requires a 6-foot radius. You'll want to arrange the bedroom and bathroom on the most accessible floor. If there is not a full bath on the first floor, the person can wash up from a bin in the sink. Use of the tub is not safe, so a shower seat, grab bars, and handheld shower head all reduce fall risk. Now, this is durable medical equipment, which is recommended for people using a wheelchair or a rolling walker. This is a tub transfer bench. It sits in the tub, and this part of the bench extends over the side of the tub. So the person would come up and sit down and then lift their legs over the edge of the tub. So you see, even though they have balance deficits, they're well supported while they're transferring into the tub. Now, if a person has sufficient balance to transfer into the tub using a grab bar, then this is a standard shower chair where they would sit and shower using the handheld shower head. This is a bed handle. It's used to help someone get from lying down to the edge of the bed. This section of it fits under the mattress, and then the person can reach for the handle, pull themselves up from a lying position while swinging their legs over the side of the bed to sit upright at the side of the bed. This is an elevated toilet seat. When you raise the hips, it's easier to stand up, and these handles allow the person to push off to come to a standing position. This is the bedside commode, which goes next to the bed if the person can't get to the bathroom at night. And when it comes to grab bars, these have suction cups, and you don't want to use these because they can't support your weight. You need to get grab bars installed by a contractor into the studs in the wall. You should consult with an OT about positioning them safely in the bathroom. You don't want them at a diagonal. And it's also advisable to replace the towel rack with a grab bar because it's intuitive in the bathroom to reach for the towel rack if you slip, but that can't support your weight. Here we have adaptive equipment that OT recommends to help people with their bathing and dressing. This is a sock aid. You slip the sock on the bottom of the tube and then lower the tube down to your feet, but with the ropes. You slip your foot in the top and pull the ropes, and the sock is donned onto your foot. These are used for people with limited range of motion who have hip precautions and can't bend at the waist, or just have limited range of motion in their hips and legs. These are grabbers. These are used to pick up things off the floor, or they can also be used to lower a waist of pants down to the feet to thread the pants and pull it up to your waist. This is a leg lifter. The foot is inserted in this part of it, and then they pull with both arms to lift the leg in and out of the bed. This is a dressing stick. This is used for people with limited range of motion in their shoulders and arms to put on a button-down shirt or to lift a pullover shirt over their head. Here we have a long-handled sponge. This is used to reach the feet and lower legs if a person has limited range of motion. And this is a long-handled shoehorn to don the shoes. A quick word about seating systems. A chair that's on casters or wheels is not safe and should not be used. You want to have a seat like this in every room of the house. It's sturdy. It has the armrest to push off of to come to a safe standing position. I've seen these in Staples. They also have them at Sam's Club at an affordable price. So you want to put one of these in each room of the house. This is a seat that tilts in order to help a person stand up if they can't push themselves to a standing position. And if you have trouble standing up from the couch, you can place a foam pad under the cushions to raise the hips. So these are the deficits that we've spoken about today. Let me turn this over again to Hallie, my colleague.
Okay, Penina, thank you so much for a very excellent presentation. And I want to thank all of you for joining us and Judy Steinig for helping us arrange this to be able to present in this forum. And Penina has beautifully presented many ways of safely helping prepare the home for possible challenges that could present themselves during the aging process. And I wish all of you good health. Hashem should watch over you. You should all be healthy and safe. Stay safe. And I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any questions in the chat. If you could pose the questions in the chat, that would be helpful. And I'll be happy to answer. We also are supplying a list that will be in an email of everything we've discussed today. And also our email addresses if you have any questions. So if you have questions, please feel free to present and I'll try to answer them now.
Okay, thank you so much, both of you. It was wonderful. Okay, I'm looking at questions right now. You're being asked to come back and do another presentation for those who have autoimmune issues of chronic pain and fatigue. So we'll talk about that another time, because there was somebody saying it's hard to cook and clean and they'd love to see tips for that. Is there anything that you would know offhand to say quickly now, or that's a whole, probably a whole presentation?
For autoimmune?
For people that have chronic, basically people that have chronic pain and fatigue. Are there any any things that you think? I'm sure you probably need some time to prepare that.
Well, I would say that it's beneficial to have a lot of a place to sit when you're preparing. That's helpful. Doing your activities in seated position could possibly help if you're having. It depends where the pain is that you're experiencing. If it's, you know, throughout the whole body, or if it's like in the legs or the arms. And there are adaptive things that could be used, adaptive equipment. Penina went over some of them. There are special knives to make it easier to cut, using your whole fist instead of using a pincer grasp. So it would depend. If you feel free to send me an email and I could discuss this further with you on the email, but I need more specifics. When I treat a patient, I just want to say, I really look at the whole person, and challenges, you know, can present themselves throughout. And sometimes they vary in the places that they are. But I need to look at how the person functions in their environment. It gives me a better idea. It's what we called, a German word or Yiddish, gestalt. Like, I need to look at the whole gestalt of the person and the environment in order to really answer questions the best way.
Okay. So, by the way, somebody asked for our presenters' emails. You will be getting all of that later. So you don't have to even jot it down. It will come in the information that you will all get when you all get the recording later on today or tomorrow. Okay. Somebody wants to know about, is there anything that you can say to be helpful about a loss of orientation?
So confusion. I think that the person probably means in cognitive issues that the person's experiencing. It's good to have, I need a little more specific when you're talking about orientation, person, place, or thing. Are they talking about the person, the place, or the item that they're talking about? I need a little more information. There's ways to get reminders. You know, people could call to remind them to take their medicines. People can compensate by having others help them, help orient them. And that clock that Penina showed is helpful for orientation to time. And I hope that helps.
Somebody wants to know, is there anything, any tips you have to clean the bathroom if somebody has, you know, has pain in their hands? Are there any easier ways to clean the bathroom?
Well, using things that are not, that are like a glove to clean instead of like some kind of a wash glove maybe would be helpful, where you're using the whole hand and not just, you know, specifically, you know, using like a toothbrush to make sure everything's clean around the sink. Usually using your whole hand, I think, is oftentimes very helpful. A cleaning lady is really great. sometimes you have to turn to that. Sometimes you have to turn to other people for help and to be able to say, I need help, which is really, really hard to admit that you know, it's hard to take from others when you want to be as independent as you can. But sometimes a person needs to do that. And to that would make it easier if they had someone helping them do it. But again, like even using, you know, different things for cleaning that would be using their whole hand as opposed to just fine motor could be helpful to them. I just want to mention that Miriam Seidel, who's another one of our colleagues from Baltimore, she mentioned doing energy conservation techniques. And those are very, very helpful techniques that we haven't gone over and could probably be gone over in another session. So one of those things is being seated when you're doing an activity, using different types of lightweight cleaning, like a vacuum cleaner that's not a heavy vacuum cleaner, but a lighter one. There's different techniques that are done to conserve energy.
Okay, the person who spoke about orientation just got back with a clarification. And the person said, mostly to get to find the way back to some place I want to get back to, or simply to reach a certain destination, right, from a certain departure point. So I guess they're feeling disoriented.
Mm-hmm. GPSs are helpful.
Actually, GPSs, you can get them on your phone as well, actually.
Right. A GPS would help them get back if they, and there's even GPSs for walking. Like you know, in Israel, many times when we're there, I'll use a GPS to get from place to place by foot. So it's possible to use that. Another thing is to call somebody. Another thing is to daven to Hashem that he should help you find the way.
Okay, how do you assess when a person with dementia is no longer safe moving in and out in a deep bathtub? And then they also want to know, are there specific products you recommend to secure bathing besides the mat on the shower floor, the hand grips, the seating, the handheld shower head? So I think the assessment part is the most important thing here.
So again, it depends on you seeing them do things that are unsafe in the bathroom or throughout the house. So I oftentimes tell people, and they don't, it doesn't have to be someone with dementia, to make a phone call before they enter a shower or a bath to say, I'm going in the bath now. And I've come out of the shower now, to let the person, someone know that they showered or bathed, to make sure that they were safe in that environment. I think that's like something that's very, very helpful to do, like as people age and have different issues that come up that cause them to feel weak or, but with dementia, I think it's an assessment that you would be able to tell if the person isn't being thorough when they're bathing, if they have dementia, like they'll come out of the bath and they'll still smell. Oftentimes people with dementia, they don't even want to take a shower. It's like a fight to get them into the shower. Like something comes over them that they do not want to be in that environment. So that's another thing to keep in mind.
Okay.
I hope that's been helpful.
There's also a few suggestions that have come up, so I'm going to read those. Somebody mentions that there are phones that put text on a screen as the person you are listening to speaks, so that can help with hearing. Let's see. There are larger ear aids that go over the ear with larger batteries.
Can I mention something for the one right before that? What was that? Can you go back one?
Yeah. I think that was the screen, text on a screen for the phone for helping with hearing. I think that was all I had. Okay.
Something else? I wanted to say, I can't remember anything.
Okay, we'll think about it.
I really highly recommend those necklaces or bracelets. That is a really, really important thing. And it helps people if they even detects a fall, they have them that detect a fall. I think they're very, very beneficial. And sometimes it takes a little convincing to get people to use them, but it's very worthwhile to have them agree to have that for safety reasons.
Okay. Somebody's also saying there are rechargeable hearing aids that don't require battery replacement. There are also assistive listening devices that are larger than hearing aids that amplify sound and speech.
Very good.
Let's see, one second. Oh, somebody else is saying you can take a picture with your phone in a parking lot to find your car. That probably would help people at all ages.
That's what I wanted to say. I once got this tip years and years ago to park in the same row in the grocery store that you're going, so that you'll know that row, your car's somewhere in that row. So you might have a spot that you always go to at the Giant or the 7 Mile Market, our grocery store, our local grocery store. I have when I go to Target, I park in the same row, and then I never lose my car because I know it's in that row somewhere. So that's like a little tip for everyone.
Okay. This is regarding, somebody wants to know about the necklace or bracelet with a push button for calling for help. That's what you were talking about before?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I think there's probably a number of companies that do that. What in-shoe tracking device do you recommend, particularly something not easily detected?
There's a lot of these like online. I personally had someone in my family living with us for many, many years. And one day she disappeared and we didn't have any tracking device. We didn't really even know about that. And it was many years ago already. It's probably about 8 years ago, or maybe it was 15 years ago since that happened. But at that time, the Alzheimer's Association had like a bracelet that you could put on someone that had all their health information in it and a phone number, Panina showed something like that. But it had a number on it. And then the phone number for the Alzheimer's Association, and it would call, if you called that number, then they had all the contact people that would help that person. But I don't have I'm really not so familiar with all the companies that do that. I know that the alarm companies are the ones that supply the necklaces and the bracelets. So if you have someone who does security for your home, they could do that for you, give your loved one that necklace or bracelet. But I don't have a recommendation for the tracking device. I'm sorry.
Okay. Any other questions? I think that's it. Panina and Hallie, thank you again. I think you've given us a lot to think about for ourselves and for our loved ones. You know, lots of good strategies, lots of assessment to think about, looking around the house and seeing, you know, what could be done differently. So I think, you know, so we thank you so much. It was wonderful. And I'm in with the questions. I'm also getting the compliments. So we want to thank you very, very much. And we want to thank everybody else for joining us. Next week, we will, Rabbi Elchanan Zon will be returning. He was with us in the spring, and he will be speaking about, it's all about the soul, Understanding and Explaining Jewish Afterlife Tradition. So that is on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, Rena Yudkowsky, who has been very, very popular, who did all the memory sessions for us this summer, will be coming back to talk about how to quiet your mind for better memory. Now, quiet is an acronym, and she's not telling us what that means until we get to the session. So make sure that you register. And of course, I just want to remind everybody that whether or not you can attend live, of course, we're happy to see everybody attending live. That's always nice. But we understand that people have other things to do. Some of you might still be working, you're involved in other things. And it, as long as we get a registration from you, you will get a copy of each program afterwards. Everyone gets the, so we just tell you to listen and watch whenever is convenient for you. So just make sure that you register. You'll be getting the information later on today when you get this recording. And of course you'll be getting it with other spirit emails that come. I also want to remind everybody as we reach the end of December and we're finishing up all of our taxes and charitable contributions, please think of the Spirit Program. There's a donate button on the emails that you get from us because we appreciate all the assistance that we receive. And of course, I want to remind everybody that our archives are up to date as of, I think about 2 weeks ago, the programming that we did before Hanukkah. So if you missed anything and didn't register, everything is there and we have some good filtering ways so you can easily find the program that you're looking for. Thank you again, everyone, for joining us. Have a great day. Have a good Shabbos. Be safe and healthy. Thank you again, Penina and Hallie.
Thank you. Have a good one, everyone. Good Shabbos. Thanks.